We will now call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order, and may we please stand, pledge allegiance to the flag, and please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Pastor Jeff Norman of Modesto Covenant Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lord God, we give you thanks for this county that we call home. We are thankful for the harvest of our orchards and our vineyards and our fields. We're grateful for the hundreds of businesses that provide livelihood for our citizens. Lord, we give you thanks for the children of our community. And we're glad to see these here this morning and we can share this time with. We're glad for the benefit they receive and that we all receive from our community schools and our colleges. And we thank you, Lord, for those who give themselves to them in teaching. We appreciate how the arts in our communities enrich our lives. And I'm grateful for the churches of our community that challenge us to love you and to love each other. So we pause now this morning, and we come with thanks for the many blessings that we all enjoy. I thank you, too, for these supervisors and for the time that they give in service to our community, for the staff of our county government and the service that they give. Lord, in today's gathering and in this meeting, in all the items on the agenda, big and small, Lord, we give you thanks for their work. Give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, we ask that you would guide our community and our county to advance the goals of Focus on Prevention, so that the lives of all people in this community can be enriched. We thank you for this vision our leaders have for this area. Pray for their wisdom and creativity as they work to make this a better place. So Lord, bless these supervisors, bless their families. Pray that you would give them joy in their service. And now I pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Now it's my distinct pleasure in welcoming the fifth grade from Encina School. And they're here today to take a tour of the county and city and have some exposure to what we do and how we run the county and how we run the city. So I really would like to have each student and each teacher stand up so we can welcome our future leaders. Thank you very much. We now will go to presentations, and on October 2016 is Italian-American Heritage Month, and Mr. David Cipinieri, the Sons of Italy of the Modesto Lodge, is now making the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor, supervisors, to be before you today for this proclamation. My name is David Cipinieri, president of the Modesto Lodge 2021 Order Sons of Italy. And I'd like to begin by reading just a little bit about the national organization. We are a national organization of men and women who represent the estimated 26 million Americans of Italian heritage, dedicated to promoting our culture and traditions, our language, the legacy of our ancestors, and our contributions to the United States and the world. We are sons and daughters, grandmothers and grandfathers. We are corporate executives, we are union members, young students and retirees, teachers and attorneys, doctors and firefighters, bankers, Wall Street brokers, and everything in between. We are philanthropists, and we are modern global citizens with purpose beyond ourselves. And we are proud and patriotic American of Italian heritage. We exemplify the best, very best, of what it is to be an Italian American. Thank you. I also want to add, you know, one more note. For October being Italian Heritage Month, this October 1st at the Central Catholic High School at beginning at 5 o'clock, we're going to be having a dinner, a pasta dinner, as our kickoff for the month.
Well, thank you. Would you come forward to the platform? And I've asked Jim DeMartini to make the presentation.
David, good to see you here again today. Our chairman has allowed me to make this presentation to you today along with Supervisor Chiesa. We're the two Italians on the board here. We tried to get the agenda in Italian, but we fell a vote short this year, so it's in English. Anyway, I belong to your organization. Supervisor Chiesa joined me last year for your banquet in Del Rio on, I think it was in April, I believe, where you have a family you recognize as Italians there. So when you were reading off all the things the Italians were, I didn't hear farmers on there. So I took an exception to that because Vito and I are both farmers, and I know sometimes the families that you recognize are farmers too. So your organization, I was reading, I have a resolution here from the board. I'm not going to go through it, but it says that the Sons of Italy started in 1905, so you guys have been around for quite a while. So. Well, I want to present this to you. And thank you for everything you do. And I have Vito talk to you too. Also, when you make your comments there, I'd like you to mention that your thing you do in Del Rio every year, and then when that might be.
Welcome, David. First of all, I've got to address all these kids because the Pledge of Allegiance was completely different today with all these beautiful voices. Yeah. It was fantastic. So very good. And also, this is a great lesson. Sometimes here at the Board of Supervisors, we honor or we proclaim weeks, months, or a day for a heritage or something specific. Today, this is for the month, Italian Heritage Month. And then, so we have a couple of us. If you guys look at my name, I want someone to shout out my name. One of you kids shout out what my name is. Can you pronounce my last name? See? That's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's Chiesa, and it means church in Italian. So there's a lot of immigrants that ended up here in Stanislaus County area. Out where I live in Houston, East Houston area, there was the Bogeri family actually sponsored my dad to come over, Araldo from Italy. And so in this little, on John Fox Road, we have the Bavas, the Demergassos, the Cazazas, the Asalis. I know I'm going to forget one, along with the Chiesa family. So you see a lot of this happening. There's a lot of Assyrian culture in Turlock. There's a Swedish in Ripon. We've got different. So you've got these different pods that immigrated to the United States. And so in Houston, it's highly Italian. The Cipinari family is in Houston. I'm trying to think of some other ones. If I just sat here and thought for a second, but it's great to honor these heritage. We are a melting pot here in America. Stanislaus County is no different. We're so proud. Again, a couple of proud Italians up here, and Terry's been trying to become Italian for the last 8 years that I've known. So he's trying to work his way in with that Irish blood. But again, congratulations. Thank you so much for coming in. We enjoy doing this every single year.
Yeah. What I'm going to do, I'm going to call Terry Cipinari up. She's our CEO of the foundation. And let her describe a little bit about what we do once a year here.
Real quickly, every year in April, out at the beautiful Del Rio Country Club, the Central Valley Sons of Italy Foundation holds a beautiful black tie benefit. And we select one local charity, and then we also select one individual or family who is of Italian descent, who's contributed in wonderful ways to our life here in Modesto and in Stanislaus County. And let me tell you, if you look back over the list of the honorees and charities, you will understand that these are worthy of honoring at this beautiful event. And I know last year we had a wonderful time. We look forward to it again in April. So please pay attention to your newspapers and any other type of media that's out there to see the dates and times.
Thank you for everything you do. Have you set the date yet for your black tie dinner in April?
It's like the third Saturday in April.
Okay. So, well, thank you. We'll be there. Okay, thank you for coming. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you very much.
We now will have the presentation of the 2015 Stanislaus County Agricultural Report by Milton O'Hare.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doering. I'm Milton O'Hare, Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures. And I'm glad to be here this morning before you to present the 2015 Agricultural Report for Stanislaus County. This year's report highlights and focuses on our leadership that we've produced from this county. And hopefully we've got some future agricultural leaders right out here. I see we got a lot of young kids. It was really great hearing them belt out the Pledge of Allegiance. It really was. Also with me is Richard Homer. He's our stat person for our county, and he pulls together most of this information and compiles it. I'd also wish to appreciate the agricultural producers, industry representatives, and public agencies that provided data for this report. I'd also like to thank the staffs of the University of Cooperative Extension and the Agriculture Commissioner's Office, especially Richard Homer, Amy Lamalle, who's right sitting behind me, and Michael Welch. The value of agricultural commodities produced in Stanislaus County in 2015 was $3,879,333,900. This represents a decrease of $518 million, or 12%, below the all-time high in 2014 of $4,397,286,000. As always, we like to emphasize that these are gross values of the agricultural commodities. They do not represent the production costs or profits. The 12% decrease in total commodity value is mainly due to a drop in the unit price paid to farmers and for many of their commodities, the continuing effects of the drought, and changes to global markets. The largest decrease was in milk production at $304 million, walnuts at $127 million, and almond meats at $100 million, followed by losses in silage, cattle and calves, and turkeys. There was also 20,000 acres fallowed in 2015 because of the drought. As I mentioned earlier, our focus this year on the report is on leadership in agriculture. In Stanislaus County, we've been blessed with agricultural leaders that have dreamed big and were willing to take risks to innovate, produce better products, do things a bit unconventionally, and to stay the course to see a vision come true. Be it the likes of E&J Gallo, Italians, Foster Farms, or the five California Department of Food and Agriculture Secretaries and two United States Department of Agriculture Secretaries that hail from Stanislaus County, their influence has been felt on a regional, national, and global scale. While our local agriculture industry has greatly contributed to the advancement of agriculture, they have not forgotten the importance of investing in the youth who will become the future leaders, such as the Future Farmers of America, the Farm Bureau's Young Farmers and Ranchers, and the University of Cooperative Extension 4-H Clubs. Throughout the county, numerous fundraisers are held each year to provide scholarships for students who are interested in advancing their education and career in the agricultural field. The leaders presented in this year's report by no means make up the entirety of the agricultural leaders in Stanislaus County. The individuals and companies were selected to highlight and memorialize those that have already been recognized by the local agricultural industry as leaders and examples of our agricultural heritage. If you'd like to read the full biographies of these different individuals and companies, I would invite anybody listening to go to the Agriculture Commissioner's website at standag.org, where we've posted those. And right now I'm going to turn it over to Richard. He's going to take us through the top 10 commodities and give us a little bit more detail on some of the reasons why our values went down.
Good morning. Number 10. Turkeys dropped from number 7 to number 10 this year because of $37 million in decreased value. The loss was caused by a small drop in price, but primarily because 6 million fewer combined turkeys and poults were raised in Stanislaus County. Number 9, almond pollination increased by $4 million. With the increase of almond tree acres, more bees are needed for pollination. Number 8, chicken eggs values raised by $14 million. The Midwest outbreak of avian influenza caused an estimated, the elimination of a reported $48 million birds, which drove prices higher. Production in Stanislaus County increased by 4.7 million dozen, and the price increased by 76 cents per dozen. Number seven, fruit and nut tree and vine nursery products increased by over $35 million. 3 million more fruit and nut trees and vines were sold at an increased price to create an overall increase of more than 37%. This reflects the continuing trend towards permanent crops in Stanislaus County. Number six, silage decreased by $42 million. Corn made up the majority of this loss, with over 9,800 fewer acres, and those that did plant corn had a price decrease from $64 a ton to $49 a ton. Number five, walnuts were hit hard last year with a decrease of $127 million, which reflects a 42.5% loss. Walnut decreased in number of acres, had smaller yields, and a very large price drop from $4,020 per ton to $2,622 per ton because of oversupply and increased worldwide competition. Number four, chickens increased by $52 million, which represents a 21% rise in value. The prices of chickens rose slightly, but it was the 8 million additional birds produced that summarized the bulk of the increase. Number three, all cattle and calves value dropped by $42 million. Because of the drought and the cost of supplemental feeding, there were fewer beef cattle on the rangeland, but lower prices caused most of the decrease in value. Number two, all milk dropped by $304 million. This represents a 32% drop. Production from dairy cow milk decreased as prices for milk dropped in both market and manufacturing milk. And number one, almonds values decreased by $100 million. Harvested acres increased as more almond trees reach production. In 2015, almonds had lower yields and price per ton. There is a soft global demand for California almonds because of the increased strength of the U.S. dollar. The almond industry continues to expand the uses for almonds, such as almond crackers, almond butter, almond flour, almond face scrub, and as a binder for veggie burgers, to name a few. Although there has been volatility in the almond prices in the last year, almonds continue to be the driving factor in Stanislaus County for their agricultural economics. And as a summary for the top 10 commodities, it reached a value of $3.26 billion, which represents 84% of the total crop value for Stanislaus County. In 2014, the top 10 commodities represented 87% of the total crop value.
Thank you, Richard. Also, a little bit more information. When you compare Stanislaus County to the rest of the state, we are number six in the state in crop value. There's a couple of counties before us. Merced sits at number five. Their crop report comes out in a few weeks, and we'll keep you posted to see if we pass them up this year. We are just a county, as you know. But when you compare our county to the rest of the United States, we are higher than 21 other states, very large states like Wyoming, and some of those larger states. And so it's really fantastic that we have this large agriculture here. We have also 20 commodities that are ranked in the top four in the state. As you can see to the left there, apricots and dry beans and turkeys were number one. Almonds, chicken eggs, grain, hay, honey, sweet potatoes, and walnuts, we rank number two, and so on. You can see, so we have 20 products there that were in the top four. As you well know, We export a lot of our products. We can't consume them all here. We send them throughout the rest of the United States and also the rest of the world. The agriculture inspectors at the Ag Commissioner's Office serve in the capacity of the federal agent, and they issued over 8,500 phytosanitary export certificates to over 100 international destinations in 2015. Certificates were issued for more than 85 different commodities. These certificates are normally for raw or unprocessed commodities, and almonds and walnuts made up 83% of all the certified exports in 2015. We'd also like to highlight, of course, our pest detection program. This is an early warning system to protect our agriculture here. And we have a very dedicated staff of about 20 seasonal inspectors and some full-time staff that place over 6,000 traps out throughout our community every year. Those traps are placed in residential settings, 73% of them, 25% in nurseries, 2% in vineyards. I'd just like to thank all the citizens that have helped us for many, many years, allowing us to put these traps into their yards. If they didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to protect agriculture. Also, a little highlight here is the Asian citrus psyllid, which is in our state now. We also have found it in our county. Last year, we found some psyllids in Turlock. We also found them in Oakdale, and it triggered a quarantine for citrus-related trees and fruit. This is a small aphid-like insect, and it carries and transmits a disease called citrus greening disease, or Wallong Bing. This disease weakens and kills citrus, and there's no cure. I'd just like to point out that we do not have the disease here in the county. We only have the insect. So fruit is still okay to eat. This concludes the report. If anyone would like to get a copy of the report, it's available on our website at stanag.org. We also have a few hard copies here for those that want those too. And we'd be glad to entertain any questions at this time.
Any questions at this time from the board?
I don't really have a question, but to make some comments there. I know that the value had to go down this year. I was kind of anticipating your report. Last year, and we've been farming in this county for 100 years, it's the first year we've ever had to fallow ground because they didn't have enough water. It shows the critical need for water, and it's for us to really pay attention to what this Water Resources Board may try and do to agriculture. Without the water, we're not going to be able to grow anything. In the research I'd done a couple of years ago, I found that directly and indirectly, like food processing, transportation, chemicals, 38% of the population in this county works in agriculture. I may not be all growers like myself, but it's everything involved in agriculture, which is considerable, especially the food processing. So agriculture is a big deal here. Even though the commodity prices went down this year, you know, there's always a fluctuation in the prices and all, but the water shortage contributed to it. Anyway, great report. I look forward to it. Maybe next year we'll get those numbers up a little higher.
We'll see what we can do about that.
We can make comment. Go ahead, please.
For Milton, great job again. Great report. Very nice. Nice presentation. Mm-hmm. Looks great.
I had a great staff.
Good people working with you. Just a couple quick things. Jim hit on some of it there, but just how important the water issue is. You know, when we look at the 12% decrease here, and I think we went from 12,000 acres fallowed to 20,000 acres this year, I think is what you and I talked about. And you look at a 12% decrease, and I know it's not apples to apples, but in trying to compare the increase in fallowing with the increase or the decrease in our total production there. But if you think about 100,000 increase acres fallowing. Think if we have to fallow 100,000 acres in this county, which is what we're looking at having to do, if this State Water Resource Control Board has their way with the increased flows and the lack of water we're going to have. So just devastating what it could be to our economy and to our livelihood for everyone here. And as Jim says, not just the farmer, but everybody that works in the farm industry, it would just be unbelievable what they could do to our to our area here, up and down between Merced and San Joaquin and Stanislaus County. So I just want to emphasize that part of it. You talk about the trend towards permanent crops, and then you'll hear people, well, just don't plant permanent crops. If you don't have the water, you don't plant. But land is always going to be planted for its highest and best use. I mean, that's what you do. That's capitalism. That's how it works in this country. And so it's not just don't plant the permanent crops, because then the money isn't made there. Again, the economy suffers because of that. So, and then the last thing I just want to point out is, any other county across this country would die to have this industry that we have here, an industry that exports internationally. This is a prize that we have here and that we have to protect. So we need to do everything we can to make sure that it doesn't go away here. So again, thank you very much for the report.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions? If not, thank you very much for the report. We appreciate it. Thank you. At this time, we go into public comment. Anyone wishing to make any comment or statements on any subject other than on today's agenda, you have 5 minutes to make that presentation. Is there anyone wishing to make public comment at this time?
Barring any cards that might have been back there, I hope I didn't jump in. Tom Orvis, Stanislaus County Farm Bureau, 1201 El Modesto. It never ceases to amaze me what our industry does and how it supports this county. Yes, it was down, but as we all know in Stanislaus County, it may be down, but we're never out. But the limiting factor, as was brought forward by Supervisors DeMartini and Withrow, is water. And I just want to remind everyone that November 4th, the Modesto Center Plaza, in the Tuolumne Room, Stanislaus County, Merced County, and San Joaquin County, and all the businesses that are tied to agriculture and all the people that are tied to agriculture will have their opportunity to speak before the State Water Resources Control Board and or their staff. So I just want to remind everyone that's out there who may be here today, who may be listening, your opportunity to speak is November 4th at the Modesto Center Plaza at 9 o'clock in the morning. The numbers are staggering. You know, I was Oakdale Irrigation District meeting yesterday, which is always an interesting place to be. But when they're talking about another 20, you know, they're talking about another percentage, but they're talking about their allocation on the Stanislaus River going from 300,000 acre foot annually to 240,000 acre foot annually. And they cover San Joaquin and Stanislaus counties, parts of them, both of them. That's quite a hit. And while we don't like the word trickle down, it is the truth. Because what happens in agriculture seems to trickle down to the rest of the county. And as we've seen in the recession we just came out of, some say we're still in it. One thing that stood strong and one thing that kept the economies of the county and the nation going was agriculture. So we always want to go back to our roots, but we have to keep our roots strong. So I encourage you, I know you guys have already been very involved in it and have stepped up, and I encourage the rest of the public to step forward on November 4th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any additional public comments? If not, we now will go to the consent calendar. Is there anyone on the board wishing to pull any of the items? If not, before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If not, I'll bring it back for the board.
Motion to approve consent calendar.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
I have a first and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. We now will go to the 905 public hearing to consider the adoption of the fiscal year of 2015-2016 consolidated annual performance and evaluation report.
Good morning, Chair Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Rising, Mr. Doring, and visiting students. I'm Angela Freitas, Planning Director. The planning department's here this morning to present the 2015-2016 Consolidated Annual Performance Report, that's otherwise known as the CAPER, for federal HUD funding, entitlement funding. Together with its Together with its partnering cities, Ceres, Houston, Newman, Oakdale, Patterson, and Waterford, the county forms the Stanislaus Urban County for purposes of receiving Community Development Block Grant and Emergency Solution Grant funding. In 2015-2016, it was our first year under our newest five-year consolidated plan. With me this morning to present the caper is Anna San Nicolas. However, before I turn the presentation over to her, I just want to make two announcements. One is reflected in your correspondence this morning. HUD has approved our 2016 annual action plan covering funding to be used in 2016-2017. So that has been secured. And we've also received notice from State Housing and Community Development, HCD, that our state request for emergency solution grant funding for homeless services in the amount of approximately $585,000 has also been approved and will be put to use in the next 2 years. So with that, I will turn the presentation over to Anna.
Good morning. Anna San Nicolas with County Planning. Today's presentation, a quick overview, our requirements for HUD, our purpose for the CAPER, funding allocations from the last previous fiscal year, projects and programs that we've completed and worked on, and our staff recommendations. Now, the fiscal year 2015-16 CAPER is one of our many HUD entitlement requirements. Our main one is a consolidated plan. Typically, a HUD entitlement agency will submit it every 3 to 5 years. The county's is a five-year plan, last certified in 2015, spanning to 2020. And the second requirement is an analysis of impediments to fair housing. We call it also an AI. That also goes aligned with our consolidated plan every 3 to 5 years. There's also our annual action plan annually to explain the programs for each fiscal year, and finally our CAPER to report on the expenditures and the accomplishments of that fiscal year. Now, our consolidated plan priorities, as directed by the board, has been the four following: infrastructure, economic development, housing programs, and public services. As you can see, each of them carries their own funding association with it. Infrastructure is usually multi-year phased projects because of the cost. Economic development, we've had opportunities with CDBG. Housing programs, we have CDBG funding, home, and some NSP. Public services, CDBG, and ESG funding. Now, again, the purpose of the CAPER is to report on our accomplishments, our expenditures, and also give an opportunity for citizen participation. This go-around, we did a 15-day public review period that started August 28 to September 12. During that comment period, we received comments from the DENAIR MAC. We did a presentation at their regularly scheduled MAC meeting, and they did raise a question on where they would be in terms of future infrastructure projects. We explained to them that because of the cost and also because of the funding availability, it goes according to not just availability, but the targeted area, health and safety issues aligned with the prioritization of the projects. So we did receive that from them. We had a county community meeting here at 10th Street Place, and there was no comments received. So the funding allocations for last fiscal year, as you see, each city received an allocation for their projects. Most of them chose to do infrastructure projects. One chose to continue with the economic development project program with previous year's funds. Each city also receives an allotment of administration funds to be able to administer and oversee their programs that are CDBG funded. Now, the county also receives administration funds as the lead agency. We administer, monitor, implement, and develop the reports and also the funding mechanisms for the processes for the continuation of funding. Now, we also do fair housing, and that's a $25,000 grant that we contract out with Project Sentinel, our fair housing service provider. So you'll see that alongside our administration part. And that benefits the urban county as a whole. And then finally, we have ESG money, which is federal money to tackle homeless services, homeless issues. It is only for the urban county area. Director Freitas mentioned that we received an award. That state funding is for countywide. Our federal funding is only for our urban county members. So only the cities mentioned earlier, as well as our unincorporated area. That's our focus. Now, again, our projects for this year's fiscal year, as Director Freitas will explain, involve the Empire Infrastructure Project and Airport Neighborhood.
As in past years, we've remained focused on the Empire and the Airport Project and getting those to completion. Unfortunately, as a result of a failed ballot measure that took place this year to establish a community services area to fund ongoing operation maintenance costs associated with a targeted Empire storm drainage sidewalk project, we have released a substantial amendment to reallocate the Empire project funds to the Airport project, and that request will be before the board in October. The county has been, while we haven't been successful in Empire, the county has been successful in securing state water board funds for the Airport Neighborhood Sewer Project, and we'll be working on a proposal in the next few months to present to the board early next year with respect to what infrastructure projects we move forward with in future years.
And the county's programs for this year also included economic development. We moved forward with a small business technical assistance program alongside the formerly known as Alliance Small Business Development Center. So in partnership with them, we're working on a technical assistance program for the unincorporated areas in our cities that help encourage small businesses, give them technical assistance to move forward, information and referral, they need help with work plans, just the structure of starting their business. Also, we are still working with HUD in guidance on developing our ADA outreach and education program, also with the emphasis on economic development and the urban county. Now, another project program that is a federal mandate, we have fair housing. Now, it's mandated to offer our residents an avenue for relief and for assistance. If anyone has a complaint against a landlord, if they feel they're being discriminated, that is a free service that we provide through Project Sentinel that we contract out to serve the whole urban county. So. Now, the urban county city projects included mostly infrastructure. Cities of Ceres, Houston, Oakdale, Patterson, and Waterford were able to move forward in completing projects. City of Newman was able to complete INYO, but is still was pending income certification for their project area. What happened in a previous fiscal year is that the urban county now requires income certification. For some reason, HUD has deemed some of our urban county areas ineligible unless we do an income survey of the residential areas that we're going to do infrastructure in. So those surveys were done and completed this fiscal year, and we're awaiting HUD certification. But in the meanwhile, the cities completed their projects, Ceres and Nadine and Evans, Houston, Fifth Street, Newman, again, completed INYO, Oakdale completed their second phase of DeWitt Avenue, and Patterson continued their downtown improvement, finishing 4th and 5th Street, and Waterford completed a second phase of La Gallina infrastructure project. Alongside, they also have their economic development program that they've been working with the county to fully develop their policies and procedures. Now, for our public service grant program, this last year we funded 7 nonprofits that helped us implement 11 programs. In this first year of the 2015-2020 CON plan, we started implementing the Focus on Prevention initiative. So it got implemented into our scoring criteria, into our priorities. and we saw that. There was more emphasis on prevention. There was more emphasis on not just a Band-Aid approach, but following up and I want to say more longer-lasting programs and projects. Now, the main criteria for CDBG projects is that it must benefit people that are 80% AMI or below. So with that, we served about 11,712 individuals, and the breakdown was about 844 seniors, 141 veterans, and of those 11,000 plus, about 10,575 received emergency food. Now, with our Federal Emergency Solutions Grants Program, our our AMI requirement is 30% or below. So the individual must make 30% of the area median income or below. Obviously, if they're serving homeless, the homeless must be documented that they, you know, really don't have any income. The breakdown for individuals served was about 1,500, and 23 seniors were reported, 86 individuals with disabilities, and 18 veterans. So. Now, with our neighborhood stabilization program, we were able to assist a total of one homeowner to get into their first home. We were also able to work with the different cities into implementing down payment assistance programs. One of the cities that was actually successful was the city of Ceres. They had 9 first-time home buyers. And then also we were able to provide two rental properties available for people at 80% AMI or below through the Housing Authority. Now, the NSP Dangerous Building Abatement Program is available for our urban county as well as our cities. What it is we're able to purchase homes that are foreclosed, that are causing blight, and put them back out on the market to eligible homeowners or provide potential rental assistance. Now, we're also working with the building department to provide a building abatement program where if there is issues, if there's blight in the community, we can also work on eliminating that. Now, we also created a neighborhood revitalization strategy area where in our second to last year, we provided public services, infrastructure, and economic development towards the Park Lawn community and also the airport neighborhood. So there weren't creation of new projects or new programs, but we emphasized and directed some focus into those neighborhoods. Now, today staff comes to you with a staff recommendation of closing and conducting a public hearing, also the approval of the fiscal year 2015-2016 CAPER and authorization to submit to HUD. And at this time, that concludes our presentation. If there's any questions.
Does any member of the board have any comments or questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a comment. I just want to thank staff for all their hard work with the Hampton Empire. Unfortunately, the citizens of the Empire said no to the infrastructure improvements we wanted to do, which, you know, is their right and prerogative. But I do want to thank staff. They worked very hard planning public works. For all your hard work, so thank you.
Anyone else wishing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just had a question about the administration cost for the county. I'm looking at Ceres, Houston, Newman. They're from, you know, 6 to 8% on the administration as in relationship with the activities, but Stanislaus County, the administration cost is 52%, as far out of kilter what the other cities are, and I just wondered why there's so much discrepancy.
As the lead agency, we do the heavy lifting. We are the agency that oversees all of the administration, all of the monitoring, all of the reporting. In essence, we're there to help guide the cities, so their level of administration into it is very minimal compared to the county.
Is this something that we have to do, is look over what the cities are doing on their project? Seems like they should be able to do that on their own.
At the end of the day, if something does go wrong or if a city doesn't complete a project appropriately or accurately, we're held responsible. So the liability is with the county.
Okay. I just kind of stuck out that their cost was, you know, so high compared to $600,000 that we were spending.
And a lot of it also provides, we provide technical assistance to the cities. A lot of them are short-staffed. They probably have approximately one or two staff members actually work on their projects, or they contract out. So sometimes we're all they have.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? If not, then I will open up the public hearing. Anyone wish to make any comments or questions? And I'll bring it back. We will close the public hearing, and then we'll go into vote.
Motion to approve all staff recommendations.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for your report.
Thanks.
We will now go into correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Office of the County Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters inviting a member of the Board of Supervisors to participate on the Election Observer Panel for the Presidential General Election on Tuesday, November 8th, 2016.
It says designated member of the Board of Supervisors to participate in the panel, and Supervisor Jim DeMartini has volunteered.
Okay. This board has received from the West Stanislaus Resource Conservation District the 2016 Annual Reserve Monitoring Report for the Crow's Landing Naval Base easement regarding natural resources on the agriculture property related to the Crow's Landing Naval Base.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the approval of the fiscal year 2016 Annual Action Plan for Stanislaus County.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. And at this time, anyone on the board have a report?
Mr. Chairman, although our fifth graders have left us to start their information gathering for the day, I just wanted to thank those teachers for bringing the kids down and getting exposure of fifth graders to government, both city and county. They're here for both city and county day. But I really want to thank staff for all their work in putting the day together for these kids. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have a report? If not, then we will go to legislative, physical, and management report.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to just briefly read part of a press release we issued yesterday. On September 15, 2016, the State Water Resources Control Board released their substitute environmental document, a SED, for public review and comment. This controversial 2,000-page document took years for the Water Board staff to create, and the public's been given just 60 days to review the document and give comments. Stanislaus County Water Advisory Committee will meet with a representative from the Water Board tomorrow on Wednesday, September 28th at 9 a.m. to hear a brief presentation and then discuss the Water Board's proposal to push up to 50% unimpaired water flows from local rivers into the Delta. The meeting will take place at 1020 10th Street in Modesto at the Kirk Lindsay Center across from Brendan Theaters, and is open to the public and media. It's just amazing in this day of a call for government transparency and accountability, the lack of transparency that we've seen from such a powerful agency as the Water Resources Control Board. And so we are urging the our citizenry to speak up, because this these recommendations could have very serious and significant impacts to our community.
Thank you. And then, Stan, do you have another announcement?
Yes. So today at 11 a.m., the Board of Supervisors is going to be taking a tour of the Public Safety Center expansion projects. That will be at 250 East Hackett Road in Ceres. And once again, 11 o'clock today. Thank you.
Although the students have left, it was our pleasure to have them here today, and I hope they have an enjoyable day and learn about government. At this time, this meeting is adjourned.